Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 162. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Feeling rested. I took some time off. I went to the beach, you know.
Oh, yeah. 4th of July. That's right. You guys went out to the beach, huh? Did you get the COVID?
Yeah, you know, us and like 40,000. No, actually, we went to like an isolated county beach and set up a tent and just avoided everyone. But
good,
no, it was good.
Yeah, I did the same, man. I hid from the public. We went up into the mountains in North Carolina, my family and I, and we had a good time. Nice and cool up there and got away from the people. It was pretty cool.
So I'm in the beach and you're like way up in the clouds and stuff, right? So
Yeah. I migrated to the clouds, if you will. Is that your cheesy segue, John?
there we go.
Yeah, well, you're right, John. We are talking a little bit of cloud. We're talking Google Cloud. They just announced a new thing. It's Google Cloud VMware Engine. I'm pretty excited about this. And we've got some friends to come and join us, starting with a good friend of ours, Mr. Ahmad Yunus. Ahmad, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And joining us from Google Cloud Solutions Management is Mr. Wade Holmes. Wade, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. I'm excited to be here. First time on the show here.
Yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate that. How is it being at Google? I know a lot of folks, you know, a lot of people in the IT industry are always like, they would love to work for Google. So you're doing it, man. How is it? Is it good there?
Yeah, no, it's pretty awesome. I mean, I joined Google last year after 10 years at VMware, and it is a great place. Lots of super smart people and a lot of excitement in what we're doing in cloud.
Yeah, at VMware, you were doing NSX, right?
I've done some of everything at VMware, so I
remember him for doing vSAN when I met
exactly.
You. Exactly, like 2013 or something. At
VMware. Yeah. I launched vSAN. I wrote the book on microsegmentation, NSX, part of the cloud service provider business unit, which was my last stint at VMware. I was the director of technical product management for cloud provider software at VMware, and then I moved over to Google Cloud.
Well, yeah, that sounds right. So now we're talking Google Cloud VMware Engine. This seems like a good fit for you, huh?
Yeah, it was a perfect transition career-wise and a perfect fit in as the market and customers continue to look at how they migrate to cloud. And obviously, VMware dominates the enterprise space, but customers still trying to figure out how do they move VMware workloads into cloud, and this gives them an easier path to do so.
Sweet. Well, why don't you set us up? What exactly is Google Cloud VMware Engine?
So Google Cloud VMware Engine is a service offering that allows for VMware technology, specifically what would be known as VMware's cloud foundation stack of vSphere, vSAN, NSX, yep. And HCX to be consumed as a service. So basically, you can spin up a software-defined data center on demand in a matter of minutes through the service.
Nice.
So I push the button, I spin this up, I've got HCX, which is on NSX, which are going to be critical for making those long distance vMotions work. I migrate this in. What all zones is this available, or what all regions of the world have we got this available in?
So today it's available in US East, US West, and we're rolling out globally over the next two quarters. So by the end of the year, we'll have an additional 8 zones within both Europe and Asia Pacific. So we'll have a global presence by the end of the year.
See, that's really awesome to me because historically I used to spin up colo environments for customers and things like that. And this whole idea of like, we've got US East and West presence. So we've got two different sides of the US. That's cool. We're also going to have, you know, 6 other countries just trying to, in 180 days, like two quarters, trying to get servers, like thinking through that Gantt chart of like, okay, I've got to get servers through customs, which depending on the country means I may have to attach some $100 bills or pay some, expediters, you know, to make it through, like all the logistics of setting up. And the US it's complicated and it's difficult, especially right now for some context. But overseas, you know, if suddenly someone came to me and is like, hey, we need services in Singapore in 180 days, I'd be like, it ain't happening. Like I I'll put the circuit order in and maybe we'll get something in, but that is cool to be able to leverage Google's scale and its infrastructure, and also just the speed at which y'all can deploy the service and then expand it. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, I found that pretty interesting in regards to the speed of the deployment, right? You guys talk about 30 minutes from the minute you hit create private cloud, right? You're using the notion of private cloud instead of SDDC. But I don't know if you want to take a minute to kind of talk about that fast provisioning. That's definitely a unique thing when it comes to the service.
Yeah, we do think that is one of the differentiators out there, as far as we're able to, as you mentioned, spin up a service in 30 minutes or sometimes less, which we're able to utilize some technology, some secret Google magic sauce, which Google has a lot of, to be able to have some cache-in and pre-provision technology to allow for this faster provisioning, which is basically the fastest VMware environment provisioning time you'll find on Earth.
Yeah.
30 minutes, I would still be trying to like find the person to take the photo and get me a badge to the colo for comparison.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
Or actually, I would have gotten lost on the way to the colo and have settled for lunch at this point.
Yeah, I think one of the more attractive pieces of this is that it truly is a service, right? Like, so there's no lifecycle management. Everything is actually taken care of for you. And I'm assuming, and we can get into the weeds a little bit, yeah. But I'm assuming that as new versions of things happen within your VMware environment, these things, what are they? Are they automatically upgraded? Do you guys run a certain set of versions of the various components that make this up, and then Google upgrades those as they see fit? How does that all work?
So yeah, so it is ran as a service. So basically Google is responsible and takes care of everything from the hypervisor down. So obviously a hardware, firmware, management of the hypervisor, management of the management components that are related. So vCenter, NSX manager, the ACX components. And so initial provisioning and lifecycle management of the components are handled by Google. There is a set software stack that it maps to actually the certified stack that is certified by VMware, that maps to VMware's VMware Cloud Foundation BOM or bundle, which at GA or today is within Google Cloud. VMware Engine is vSphere 6.7, U3, corresponding vSAN 6.7, NSX 2.5.1. So, and basically how upgrades are handled is we usually will have about a 6 month lag. Or we plan to have a 6 month lag between when a new version, major version of VMware software rolls out and when we'll roll out that version within Google Cloud. Because typically you want to make sure that all the ecosystem players have interop, make sure that customers have enough notice to be able to know if a new version is coming about, their own internal integrations they may have. So we will definitely have a lag between the time frame that VMware rolls out a new version and when we roll out those capabilities as a service in Google Cloud.
6 months is still a lot faster than anything I ever updated my major updates on. So that's pretty good. I assume security patches get pushed obviously faster than that.
Yeah,
that's just the major releases. So
correct. Those are major releases. Anything minor that would be a X.Y.Z, which would be security patch, typically will have a 2 day typical. And if it's a urgent, it may be even sooner than that. But we'll obviously have to notify customers ahead of time.
Yeah, I was reading on Imad's blog, ImadYunus.com. Wait, I also read your blog as well, and I'll be sharing links to these in the show notes of the podcast. But I was reading on Imad's blog post. It's got a whole list of all the software of the bundle, right? So it's ESXi is 6.7U3, vCenter 6.7U3, vSAN 6.7U3, NSXT Data Center 2.5.1, and VMware HCX 3.5.2 Advanced. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, customers should know that the license is all part of that, right? You don't have to bring your own license. It's the support is included, the infrastructure. That's all part of the cost of this, right? So as part of the subscription, you get all that. And you know, all they need to really worry about at the end of the day is the workloads themselves.
Yeah, the life cycle, it's like Gmail. I don't worry about what version, you know, Gmail is running. It's just Google takes care of it for me. So it's the whole point of a cloud service is to let you focus on the things that are, I guess, are unique in regards to that. So
yeah, and bundled in is VMware HCX, like Wade was talking about. And the cool thing is it's automatically deployed for you the minute you provision that private cloud. So you can start moving those workloads from day one.
So HCX is already stood up. And then I basically, if I want to start migrating my workloads in, it's already, there's no configuration that I need to do on my end. And I think we did have an HCX, the last time you were on our podcast, we talked HCX with Amy Lewis. And we were talking about all the, you know, you can have different versions of vSphere and you can move from different versions. I'm assuming that's still the case also with this service, right?
It is. And that's the beauty of it. The only configuration that needs done is on the on-premises side, right? That's where you're moving those workloads typically from to the cloud. So once the service is up and running, you just go in, download the Cloud Manager OVA, deploy HCX on-premises, pair the two sites, make sure that you stretch that network, and now you can start moving workloads.
Yeah, HCX is definitely one of those that, in my opinion, is definitely one of the better things that VMware has come out with. You know, it used to be vMotion, which was like such a game changer, but I think HCX is up there too. It's very, Wade, you were talking about secret saucy with Google. I'd have to say, I think HCX is definitely up there with the secret saucy versions for VMware.
Well, man, I mean, HCX is, bringing forth the vision of VMware being a ubiquitous multi-cloud platform. HCX is that glue that allows for that.
Yeah, it definitely allows customers to not have to worry about being locked in anywhere, right? That workload can move from one endpoint to another anytime, anywhere.
I know I made a very large company that was using HCX. I remember talking to them recently, is they migrated into a cloud provider, a hosted provider. And they had problems with what they got migrated into. And their provider's like, yeah, actually, we're sorry. We're actually deprecating what you just moved into. And they're like, it's okay. We still got HCX deployed. Let's just go move somewhere else. And they did like another move like 2 months later. So it is interesting to see just how quick that is versus historically that Gantt chart of moving like a major, you know, Fortune 500 tier one service would be like 18 months, like just being able to cut that down to a very, very short process. Speaking of bandwidth, what are we looking at for connectivity in and out? So we've got HCX. I assume we can also do VPNs in and out of GCP or the direct connects. Like what are the recommendations or what do you see customers doing on the WAN connectivity?
So yeah, so that's definitely another big strong point from a flexibility perspective that we provide in Google Cloud. You can do direct connects and you can have 100 gig, up to 100 gig direct connections, and which you can utilize HCX over. You can also utilize Google Cloud's native cloud VPN service to allow for connectivity. You can utilize partner connects. So we have a large range of connectivity options that can be utilized in addition to all the native capabilities that come with NSX within the service.
So when it comes to NSX and when it comes to vSAN, I mean, how are these? Because obviously when you buy these outside of Google, there's a lot of options and choices. Like what does it look like? Do you just get like t-shirt sizes or is there, you know, how do we, you know, choose? Because obviously many organizations are different sizes. So what are some of the options?
So at GA, there's one node type that is available as part of the service. And we basically size a node to be a very high powered nodes with 768 gigs of RAM, 36 cores, 20 terabytes of NVMe storage. So they can, they're sized in a way that they can run the majority of your typical memory intensive or storage intensive workloads. So pretty much if a workload is virtualized on premises, there's a good chance that you're going to be able to run it in a cluster. And obviously you can then scale out cluster size as needed from 3 nodes up to 16 node clusters and up to 64 nodes in a private cloud.
Okay.
So it gives you a large amount of flexibility, and this is private cloud. So when a customer provisions the environment, they can then select to migrate VMs and size VMs as they choose within that private cloud environment.
Okay. So yeah, to be clear, you're not sharing hosts with anyone else.
Nope. This is completely dedicated.
That's why we use that private cloud in a public cloud description.
Correct. Correct. I know that some purists may not like that if you're like a NIST purist on the definitions of private cloud, public cloud. But yes, that is why we call it dedicated private cloud, and that this is a dedicated to a single customer dedicated environment that's firewalled off and actually from a hardware perspective and only that customer has access to that environment.
So I'm guessing because vSAN requires three nodes for a cluster, is that the minimum size?
That is correct.
And then you can add additional as you see fit, or?
Yeah, you can add, you can scale up or scale down individual nodes on demand. So you could have a baseline, which is going to be very interesting for use cases like DR, where you may have a baseline of just say three nodes, but then
you're on a pilot light on three nodes and then you spin up when you need them.
Exactly. And spin back down, or so it gives you mass amount of flexibility.
No, that's
the other piece of the hardware that was also interesting was the NICs. So you're looks like the servers come with four dual port NICs.
Now is that what speed are those NICs? Are those 2500?
They're 25, yeah, 425 gig each are 25 gig uplinks, so you can utilize up to 100 gig of bandwidth.
Are those actual 25 gig ports, or do y'all do like an SROAIV or some voodoo on the back end?
They're actually
if it's secret sauce.
They're actual 25 gig ports, and they're not oversubscribed.
Okay, cool.
Come on, so John. You know 25 is a new 10
thing going on there. No, so we talked about you can scale. What happens on a failure? Is it, you know, we've got somebody like Ahmad just putting a server on his back running down the aisle, or is what's it look like when a host fails?
So yeah, when a host fails, I mean, there'll be automated and non-disruptive addition of an additional node, whether it's if there's a complete failure, obviously we'll add in an additional node on the back end to be able to replace that failed node. And that should be all non-disruptive. And of course you're utilizing the VMware and vSAN capabilities from a fault tolerance perspective to make sure that doesn't disrupt the workloads. And even if there's a partial failure degradation of a host, then we'll add in that node and remove that degraded host.
That's kind of cool. And one thing to think about is historically, when you built out your own, you know, private cloud, you would often say, okay, we're going to size this as N+2 or N+whatever, because, you know, it's going to take a while. When something fails, inevitably, like I'm at lunch or it's, you know, Friday at 4:55 and I don't really want to go to a data center for the weekend. So the fact that you've automatically got that means you can size a little tighter, I guess. You don't have to, obviously don't run everything at 100%, but you don't have to be sized for N+2 if hosts just can magically appear to handle the failure, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, this is as a service. At the end of the day, we want customers just be able to worry about what is the availability I'm going to get and not to worry about how I add a node or order a node or et cetera. So we guarantee 4 nines of availability. And so the customer can then plan their workloads around that and not have to worry about these maintenance windows if and when things do fail.
4 nines is actually really good for a public cloud in a single region, because that's historically 3 nines is a lot of what people have provided. So obviously you guys are world class at running data centers at scale. So that's actually, you know, I can believe that extra 9 being there.
Yeah, that is for 4 nines in a single region is not that common.
You know, the other thing that I found interesting on the service was the RBAC, especially the elevated privileges. That's something you typically don't see in most clouds, allowing customers to kind of go in on their own and they can do that on demand, right? It's a timed thing. But what I found interesting was that you guys are also monitoring that in the background, right?
So what would be an example of something that you would need temporary access for?
So yeah, so basically within Google Cloud VMware Engine, we have a capability to allow for elevated privileges to vSphere in a time-bound manner. And so you would use that when you need to have admin access, whether it's to integrate a third-party solution or integrate a homegrown script or other technology that requires admin access so that you can have more flexibility in integrating in ecosystem solutions and ecosystem products.
So, that's nice. So you have a temporary, so you can still do the administrative things that you need, but then it's not just wide open so you can shoot yourself in the foot.
Exactly.
You probably still shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah, you just have a very small window to do it.
Well, it also helps protect against admin escape, the actually only escape you should worry about. You know, it's having those time controls on that, it prevents people creating some backdoor administrator account for a contractor that gets left for 12 years. So no, there's a lot of value to it. And it also shows that there's very much a thoughtful design here. This wasn't just like, oh, let's go grab the VCF installer and mash enter a hell of a lot. This is something that was carefully thought out by people who are used to managing things at scale.
I do love the UI, by the way, where it has danger zone.
Danger, danger.
Wait, does the song from Top Gun play, or?
It doesn't, but that's a good idea. I have to put that on the, in the backlog for feature request. So nice. Yeah, no, there are definitely a lot of innovation. As you mentioned, it isn't just a matter of just throwing VCF in the cloud. So one thing that we didn't talk about is that this is a first party service by Google. And what I mean by this is completely integrated into Google Cloud's console. So the same way that you provision other Google Cloud services, such as Google Compute Engine or Google Kubernetes Engine, is using the same IAM account, the same networking constructs, is the same way you provision the private clouds through Google Cloud VMware Engine. So if you go to console.cloud.google.com, you'll see the VMware Engine icon along with every other Google Cloud service within our Google Cloud console.
Ah, that's interesting. So this is definitely a Google-specific service. This is not like something that's like, obviously VMware is involved, but I mean, this truly is owned by Google and run by Google completely. I like
so
that.
So I got a question here. Is there an API I can deploy this with?
So there is. So everything is built by API. We do have API is in basically limited release right now, and there will be full API access to the solution.
I'm imagining a VMworld session where you just have a single like one line script and you hit go and just, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is all about making it fast, easy, repeatable, and as flexible as possible.
So you're saying it's the only cloud you can deploy during a VMworld session? No, I was going to say, we probably want to answer the question that everybody's been thinking about is this whole Cloud Simple story, right? So what's the reality there?
So Cloud Simple, well, first, somebody asked, well, for those who don't know the background, what is Cloud Simple? So and I'm intimately know the story very well because for those who don't know, I came from VMware and was part of the cloud provider business unit that worked with Cloud Simple. So Cloud Simple was previous to moving to Google. Mm-hmm. So Cloud Simple was a company that provided, was a VMware partner that built the provisioning and lifecycle management capabilities to allow for VMware's public cloud solution for both Google Cloud initially as a partner and also for Microsoft Azure. So Google purchased Cloud Simple last year around the end of the summer. And this is the foundation for some of the technology that has been rolled into Google Cloud VMware Engine.
Ah, so this essentially is the product of the Cloud Simple acquisition.
Yes, yes. It's basically Cloud Simple 2.0, if you want to call it that.
All right. But we won't see any naming around Cloud Simple from here on out, right?
Correct. Yeah. So the Cloud Simple team has been completely integrated into Google. It's one of the Google engineering teams that are taking care of this and future versions of the solution.
Nice. Ahmad, you've been working on this for a little while. I saw your blog, so you've obviously deployed it. What are your thoughts, man? What are your takeaways?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to work with Wade and some of the Google folks, and it's definitely been it's been exciting to get to learn something outside of the normal VMware ecosystem. So it's a lot of exciting stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody knows Google, obviously, and everybody has some Google account and has used something from Google. And clearly the common denominator, if you will, is that it's always pretty simple. So this seems just looking at your blog post and seeing the deployment and the permissions configuration and even configuring the service, it seems to be in that line. It seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I thought it was. And like I said, working with the Google folks has been great. I've learned a lot about the service, and there's still more to learn. So I definitely put some resources at the bottom of the blog to help people get started and understand some of the things that I found.
Yeah, I saw that. I'll definitely leave. By the way, I did notice, I thought that was interesting. Maybe I'm wrong, but are the release notes and all of the information that you put, the resources for that, are those like, it almost looks like Google Docs. It's a website, but it sure looked like a Google Doc for a minute. Is that intentional, or was that just me?
So it is a website, but I mean, we do everything on Google Docs and all Google products internally. So there's probably no, it's not just coincidence that
it's called a consistent UI, yeah. Pete. It's called a consistent UI. I know they're foreign to some of us sometimes, but you know.
It's so clean. I don't know. I like it. It's
consistent look and feel. Yeah.
Unified look and feel. That's just crazy talk.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about Flash. Let's not talk. First rule. Yeah. Everything.
You know, the other thing is that I found out is apparently Google Next is happening. And I guess there's going to be some sessions around the service as well. Wait, I don't know. I haven't dug into that too much, but do you have any insight into that?
Yes. So yes, Google Next is happening, and it's actually extended to be a multi-week event that basically every Tuesday starting July 14th, we'll have Google Next on air, and we'll have a 9-week event. And on the second week, of that event, we will have a session around Google Cloud VMware Engine. So there's definitely something to check out and yeah. be able to learn more about this solution and potentially many others that you may be interested from Google Cloud.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, I will definitely leave links to that on the show notes. We're coming to the top of the hour. I want to be respectful of your time. Wade, Ahmad, thanks for joining us and talking about Google Cloud VMware Engine. This is definitely going to be some exciting stuff. Looking forward to seeing some VMworld sessions, hopefully, and other sessions as well. I appreciate you guys joining us. John, anything else before we take off?
No, I think I'm just going to go be distant somewhere. So
you're going to social distance. Now that you've been at the beach all week, you're going to finally, you're going to incorporate some social distancing.
Hey, I had lots of sand between me and everyone else. If anyone came close, I was ready to start, you know, hurling sand at them or something. I don't know.
I thought you were going to say you're going to go rev your VMware engine.
rev my VMware.
That can mean so many different things to so many different people.
Wade, where are the stickers that say rev your VMware engine? Like,
well, you know, Ahmad's makes all the good t-shirts. So I'm looking forward to that one, Ahmad.
Oh, man. I can already see Yen being questioning, like, why she gave anyone budget for stickers.
You know what? So. If Wade comes up with a budget, I'm happy to help.
I like it. I like it. All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this in all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Ahmad and Wade for joining us this week. We're back next week, but until then, bye for now.
Enough of this jibber jabber.